my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Tony, turn around. Something's lost that must be found. All Saints' congregation is much like many other Episcopal churches in the rural South, where you won't find many cradle Episcopalians. But you will find plenty of former Baptists and a smattering of former Catholics. I don't expect the former Baptists here today will have heard that saying, Tony, turn around, something's lost that must be found. But the former Catholics, Mary Lou, I am looking at you, especially those who attended Catholic schools, will recognize it immediately. The Tony in the saying is Saint Antony of Padua, who had lost his book of Psalms and after praying had it returned by a penitent novice who had stolen it. Catholics are encouraged to enlist Saint Antony's help when they lose anything. Something's lost that must be found. Today I am going to talk about lostness. Charlie, I must have known you would be here today. On Friday, I was captivated by a video that I watched while eating my lunch. A dog-loving parishioner had posted it on Facebook. I took time to look for the original on YouTube, and from that search, I learned that it was a promotional video for Animal Aid India. Much of it must have been reenacted for the camera, but that did not detract from its impact. Animal Aid India had been called to assist a dog that was frantically seeking human help. She was lactating, and you knew immediately that she was concerned for her puppies. The sound that she was making was a mixture of a yelp and a whine. The Animal Aid representative was shown arriving and quickly winning the dog's trust. He realized that the dog wanted to lead him along a back street, and so he followed. It was clearly a poor neighborhood. He turned a corner and he saw a collapsed house. The dog started to claw at the pile of rubble, digging in the ground, trying to move lumps of concrete. Her newfound helper was able to lift blocks that were too heavy for her, and together they dug for quite a while. You couldn't hear the puppies until the dog exposed a crevice. And that was when you heard them crying for their mother. The mother dog became even more frantic as she responded to their cries. So, gently but firmly, the animal aid worker pushed her aside and reached in. He lifted the puppies out one by one. They were tiny and their eyes were not yet open. There were four of them, and he gave them to their mother, who anxiously licked them. The video ended with the puppies relocated to another house and asleep beside their mother on a green blanket. I had tears rolling down my cheeks. If you like animal stories with happy endings, you won't have trouble finding it on YouTube. Just Google Animal Aid India, mother dog digging for her puppies, and you will find it. I saw that video as a contemporary parable, similar in many ways to the two that Father Will read today, which were about God's dogged persistence in his search for the lost and the extravagant joy in heaven when that which is lost is found. There is an intimation in today's parables of the conclusion to the parable of the prodigal son, which Jesus tells next, where the father tells the older son, "How could we help celebrating this day? Your brother was dead and has come back to life, was lost and is found." The state of lostness, the condition of being lost, is a recurrent theme in Luke's gospel. If you read his gospel carefully, you will see that Luke categorizes people in three ways in terms of their relationship to God. There are the righteous, there are the sinners, and there are the lost. It is guaranteed that sinners will also be lost. But it is not guaranteed that the righteous may not also be among the lost. And certainly, they may be among the temporarily lost. All three, the righteous, the sinners, and the lost, bear the image of God. He is indelibly imprinted on all of them. And to lose any one of them is to lose part of himself. That is why God is so persistent in his search and so joyful when he finds. We are so used to unthinkingly saying, "We are all sinners." But let's be honest. That's not really how we see ourselves. We certainly don't see ourselves as the miserable sinners of the prayer book confession. Looking out on you, I don't see you as miserable sinners. And that's not the way Luke sees it. Rather, when Luke describes someone as a sinner, he's talking about someone whose pattern of sinning is so habitual, even second nature, and the whole community knows it. Similarly, by the righteous, Luke doesn't mean those who live perfect lives, but rather those who actively and mostly live up to the law, and are known and respected among others as upstanding citizens. Unless there is something I don't know about you, you would all be amongst those whom Luke would call the righteous. Most of us try very hard to do the right thing and be good Christians. And no amount of convincing us that we are filthy sinners and then assuring us that God forgives us anyway will make very much difference to our self-conception or our behavior. But though we may be righteous in this sense, might we be also lost? Consider some of these scenarios. Might the parents who so want their child to be successful that they direct their every step, hovering around the soccer field or the music recital, spending hours doing their child's science project for them, be lost? Might the career-minded man or woman who has made moving up the ladder the one and only priority in their life be lost? Might the people who work at jobs they hate just to prove that they can give their families the things they never had be lost? Might the retiree who has put everything into saving for a comfortable retirement and cultivated no other interests and now finds that he is financially secure but that life has no meaning be lost? Might the teenager who works so hard to be perfect and enjoys the admiration of all in fact be lost? Might the earnest Christian who is constantly asking whether people have accepted Jesus into their heart but lives a joyless life be lost? I hope you get the picture. To all those scenarios, the answer might be that they are not lost. But you will agree the possibility that they are lost exists. And if they are lost, God earnestly desires to find them. In the news this week, we had an example of someone whom Luke would have considered lost. She certainly crossed some moral boundaries, and her crossing of those boundaries became very public. But mostly, I think she was lost. I'm referring to Felicity Huffman. Her older daughter had been working with a counselor, Rick Singer, for a year, hoping for a place in a selective acting program. She had a learning disability, and her SAT scores were weak. Rick Singer told Felicity Huffman that the scores would be a barrier to admission. But he promised her that for $15,000, he could get her the score that she needed. She said she just wanted things to be fair for her daughter, thinking only about her daughter's disability and not about all the privileges which her daughter already had. Rick Singer bribed the proctor to change the daughter's scores. Felicity Huffman knew, but her daughter didn't. On the way to the test, her daughter asked whether they could get ice cream on the way home. She said that even then, she was having second thoughts about what was going to happen. She told the court, "I thought to myself, turn around, turn around, turn around. To my eternal shame, I didn't." At her sentencing, she told the judge, "I realize now, with my mothering, that love and truth must go hand in hand, and that my love, coming at the expense of the truth, is not real love." If Felicity Huffman spoke those words from her heart, at that point, she was found. Sadly, in my years of headmastering, I saw so many parents lying out of love for their children. And I understood, as a parent, why they would do it. I think that blinded by their love, they were lost. Fundamentally, whether we are a sinner or a righteous person is to do with the things we have done or that we have failed to do. It is a legal designation dependent on our actions. Whether we are lost or found is a much more existential understanding of who we are, separate from our actions. It depends upon our relationship with God. When we are in a relationship with God, we are found. When we are out of a relationship with God, we are lost. Even now, at this very hour, God is searching for the part of himself that is us. May he find us, and may there be joy in the presence of the angels. Amen.